This episode of the Everything Matters podcast is brought to you by BeLegendary.coach, where we transform leaders into legends. Are you a senior leader, entrepreneur, or executive looking to take your leadership to the next level? Are you dealing with things such as imposter syndrome, concerns with whether or not your leadership is lingering long after you've completed FaceTime, looking for new and innovative ways to connect with your team and to gain buy-in from stakeholders that you deal with on a daily basis? If any of this sounds like something that you're dealing with and you would like to take your leadership to an extraordinary level, your effectiveness to a legendary level, visit BeLegendary.coach. That's www.BeLegendary.coach and schedule your free performance analysis today. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the next episode of the Everything Matters podcast. I'm your host, Bradford Speaks. Today's guest is a gentleman by the name of Jeff Buhner. Jeff is an author, a speaker, and a great storyteller. Jeff is here today to share with us his remarkable story about how his life was significantly changed when he was given a manuscript by a really nice woman at whose home he was simply doing contractor concrete work. The manuscript was a story of the ninth emperor of the Mali Empire named Sultan Mansa Musa, who is legendary for his immense wealth and his extraordinary generosity. He was also known for his willingness to share his secrets to his success with just the common man. Now, we all think that Elon Musk's wealth is something to behold, and quite honestly, it absolutely is. However, it is said that in order to match Sultan Musa's wealth, you need to add another 100 billion, that's with a B, to Musk's wealth. In this transcript were the secrets of how to obtain total peace and massive prosperity in this life that we all live. And Jeff has been able to apply these principles successfully to his own life and to create something that he never thought was possible for himself, considering the background from which he came. He's here to share his amazing and incredible transformation with us and tell you how you can do the same. So please join me in welcoming Jeff Buhner to the Everything Matters podcast. Jeff, let's get it popping, my man. Welcome. Hey, Jeff, welcome, buddy, to the Everything Matters podcast, man. So great to have you on as my guest. We've been working at getting this together for a few weeks now, and I appreciate you for making time in your schedule. I know you're a really busy man with what you're doing and the difference that you're looking to make in the world and with people. So, again, thank you for carving out time to be with me and to be my special guest today.
Hey, well, thank you for having me on. I'm really excited to be here.
Outstanding, man. Outstanding. So, Jeff, before we get into the bulk of what we want to talk about today, which is I'm so excited about it because this is really my area. As a high performance coach, I'm always looking for ways that I can help people see their life in a bigger way and to shift the way that they view life. And I know that's a lot of what you're going to share with us today. So I'm so excited to dig into that. But I want to give the audience a little bit of an opportunity before we go to that to get to know you a little bit. So where'd you grow up? I see you got a name here. You would share with me off camera, your last name being Buhner. And I'm curious to know what the origin of that name is. Did you grow up in that place or where did you grow up and what was life like for you as a kid, man?
Buhner is a German name, but my dad was adopted at 14. So we're mostly Irish, but grew up kind of, accepting that German background and being part of the German culture a little bit. But awesome. I was raised in America, little town, Heber City, Utah. I don't know if you've ever heard of that place.
Never heard of that place.
Little cowboy town, you know, and just grew up a farm boy on a ranch.
Interesting. You know, I have not heard of that place before, and I guarantee you haven't heard of the town that I grew up in either. A little small town in Louisiana. Let's just give it a shot. Have you ever heard of a place called Bogalusa, Louisiana?
No, but that's a great name. Sounds like a good name for your dog, you know, Bogalusa. Yeah.
There you go. Exactly. Right. Exactly. So that's where I grew up, man. So Utah, and I'm actually going to vacation in Utah for a couple of days in a few weeks. So excited about that. So what was life like, man? What was your dad like in growing up as a kid? And what did you do, you know, when you were growing up there in Utah?
Well, we all worked hard. That was the main thing. And at 18, I couldn't wait to turn 18 so I could move away from farm life. Mm. And then once I did that, I found that I've spent the rest of my life trying to get back to that farm life that, you know, I really didn't appreciate as much as I should have.
Wow. So great. So great. So I got to ask this question. So what did you learn over the course of your life, or what did you experience that said, you know what, man, I had it so great being on that farm. I really would like to get back to that kind of life. What happened?
Well, I finally have a farm now, but it's over in Belize. And okay. When I go there, I just feel peace. You know, there's elbow room. I walk around. They don't need me to do anything, but I walk around and pretend to work, prune banana plants or whatever I can do. But I love the peace. That's really the main thing. And the people. Yeah, I took the people for granted. You know, they're really down-to-earth, fun, wonderful people.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been to Belize. It's certainly on my bucket list. And one of the things that, you know, I can certainly agree with you on, and I see the world the same way, is the people that we come across in our life, whether it's for, you know, a moment, you know, a decade or a lifetime, right? We tend to take people for granted. And I'm really big on giving people their flowers while they're here. So I really appreciate you shared that.
That's a great lesson to learn.
Absolutely. So you got some property in Belize, and that's a whole other conversation. I want to dive into a little bit about what you're about, like what's important to you. And, you know, I know you've written a book and we're going to talk about that as well. But like, what's important to you? What drives the work that you do with your life, like how you live your life and the purpose that you've taken on for your life? What's that about? What are you about? What's your elevator pitch for Jeff?
Well, I think creativity, you know, using my imagination to make a fun life rather than waiting for a fun life to come to me. And we'll get more into that, but that's really what I'm all about.
I love it, man. Who doesn't want more fun in their life?
We all do.
We all do. Even if we don't recognize it, we do want fun, right?
Yeah.
I'm really curious to know how you create that, right? So great. So we talked a little bit earlier before we started the interview about like something typically happens in a person's life, right? Either we meet someone or we experience something and something starts to shift for us. And I can just speculate that you probably didn't grow up thinking about having fun. You just had fun. You didn't have to think about it. You just had fun, right? And so as kids, we just have fun everywhere. We don't even think about it. It's just something we just do, you know? So walk us through sort of your experience, like, you know, where's life taking you and how did you get to where you are right now? What's been your experience? What kind of work have you done? What's your background and things of that nature?
Yeah, growing up on a farm, it was hard work, but we did have fun and the kids were fun, you know, and then adulthood hits and the fun went out of my life pretty fast. I had no safety net, you know, just financial responsibility. I had a young wife, a little boy, and I was just doing what I thought I should do, working hard to make my money as a concrete contractor. But I don't know, I was wearing myself out and not really getting ahead financially. And I'd been doing that for years and years to the point where I really was worn out. I didn't care. I mean, I wasn't going to try to do anything to myself, but I used to have these fantasies that if it went fast, if a Big Mac truck hit me, I wouldn't care. You know, I was just so tired and frustrated. Yeah, I don't know if you can relate to that.
Oh, man, certainly so. I mean, I think one of the most pivotal points in a person's life is when you become an adult and you realize, oh, crap, it's just me, man. Yep. And throw a kid in the mix, it's a whole different deal, right? Someone else that you're responsible for. So I can totally imagine. And I'm sure a lot of people who are listening today can relate to that. And I acknowledge you for being honest about those feelings, man, and just being real that, hey, you know, there was a time where I was like, I'd be okay if this just all ended today. I totally get that.
I think most people have felt that, you know. And the thing I realize is that a lot of people live in fear. But they have fear because they don't feel like they're in control. They don't feel like they can make good things happen and stop bad things from happening. Wow. And that's certainly how I felt up to the age of 33.
Man. And
I was scared.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely a fear that comes along with with becoming an adult, the responsibilities that we take on as an adult. And you really are speaking to something I think really powerful. And I think it's a conversation that I want to dive into, because a lot of people, particularly, everybody, I would venture to say that almost everyone are always trying to stop these negative thoughts that we have. Right. And just how do you shift your mind? People always say, I got to change my mindset. And, I say to people all the time, I get that, we know that we need to change our mindset and change our thoughts. But the question becomes, how?
Yep.
How do I do that? Like, there's this whole conversation going on in my head. How do I get rid of that baby, man, and make it go away? Go away, right? So what happened for you? Like, what took place? What did you experience where you actually started to see, I don't have control of my life and I want control. How can I get that?
You're trained from the day you get here. People are telling you who you are, what group you belong to, how we act in that group, what we believe, what we say, what we don't say. And as a kid, you buy it. You buy it all. And that's not necessarily bad. Most people are trying to help you fit into a way of life that they think is going to be beneficial to you. But as you get trained to act a certain way and think a certain way, and then someone comes along and says, hey, you need to change your mindset, you can nod your head, yeah, I really should. Right. But you don't, because you don't have the skill. And that's what happened to me at 33. I simply learned the skill in a really bizarre set of circumstances. And that I'm going to share that with you. That's what's in my book. That's the only really interesting thing I have to talk about.
Outstanding, man. I know that I'm eager, and I can imagine anyone who's listening to this podcast today is eager to know what happened. What did you find in this book and that you share? So tell us about what did you learn? What did you discover? And at the age of 33, which is an interesting age, by the way, when you think about Jesus Christ in 33.
Oh, yeah, right. I actually had not thought about that before.
That's a really interesting
age.
It is. Lots going on at that part of your life, right?
Yeah.
So what did you discover, Jeff, that really impacted you?
Yeah, let me take you back to that. That was quite a long time ago for me, almost 30 years ago. But I was a concrete contractor, just working hard and very frustrated. And I could see other people who had what I wanted. But Bradford, it seems so far out of my reach, you can't even believe it. But one day I did something that I really knew better than to do. But I was pouring concrete for this very elegant couple that had everything I wanted, but didn't think I could get. They were obviously very wealthy, but there was more than that to them. They were really kind. They would talk to us, just concrete guys, in our dirty clothes. Right. And they'd come out and they seemed genuinely interested in what we were up to and how we were feeling, what we were doing, And one day, it wasn't the first day that we were working there, but as I got comfortable with them, the lady was talking to me, and I unloaded my problems onto this poor, complete stranger. at first, it just started out kind of complimenting her on what she had and how wonderful she and her husband were and how I really looked up to that. But then it devolved. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it devolved into complaining, and I knew better than to do that.
Yeah.
And right in the middle of my complaining, she just turned around like she didn't want to hear anymore and walked away. And I was so embarrassed.
Wow. I can imagine. It's probably a little shocking there. Like, I'm pouring my heart out this lady. She just turns away and walks off.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess she didn't want to hear. I guess she didn't want to hear what I had to say. I guess she's done. I'm sure you're thinking that, right?
No, I wouldn't want to hear it either. I don't want to hear other people complain.
Exactly. Yes. So what happened then?
Well, she came back a few minutes later, and she put a manuscript in my hands. And I had no way of knowing in that moment that my prayers for a better life had just been answered. And she asked me to read it that night and bring it back to her the next day. Now, my life was so chaotic that I thought, there's no way I can read your paper, lady, but I thanked her put it in the truck. But that night I read the first page and I stayed up all night long reading the whole thing and taking copious notes.
Okay.
This manuscript told the story of a real man in history, Sultan Musa of Mali. This guy's life is so unbelievable that when you first hear about it, you're not sure it could be true. He was the richest man to ever walk the earth. To put this in context, he lived in the 1300s, but he was wealthier than Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos put together. So this guy, he lived in West Africa and just an unbelievable life. And the most unbelievable part is that he started out an absolute street urchin, dirt poor. His father died when he was very young, and that condemned him and his mother to unbelievable poverty. Mm. He literally had to steal food every day just to stay alive.
Wow. So wow. I'm sitting here like, okay. And ironically, I'd never heard of this man before until just recently. And I knew we had this interview coming up. And I'm like, I think this is the man that Jeff's talking about. So I went back to your questionnaire and I'm like, that's so weird. Like, I'm getting ready to talk about this next week. And I'm now seeing this guy showing up on my social media feed. So I became really curious. And they were saying the same thing. He's the wealthiest man that ever lived. So my question was, and I wanted to ask you this, how did he amass his wealth? Being from complete poverty, what did he do? Was it oil, gas? I mean, you know, that's what we think of. He started an Amazon online store. You know, what happened? How did he make this money?
Well, back then, you know, oil and gas, that's what makes you wealthy now, I guess. But back then, it was gold and salt. But he had none of that, you know, starting out.
Okay.
His is the greatest rags to riches story ever told. And the fact that we have not, like, in school been taught about this guy is really criminal. It's really too bad.
Wow.
Anyway, he, to carry on with the story, you know, I'm looking at this manuscript and there's something in it called the language of the gods. So I got to go back and tell you about this a little bit, but if you speak this language, the world obeys your commands. It just does. Whether you speak it in a positive way or a negative way, the world obeys your commands.
Hmm.
So I got to back up just a little bit because Musa, at the age of 12, had a near-death experience. And he met a man made of light who taught him all kinds of crazy things, like how the world works, how you work. And Musa survived this attempt on his life and came back and turned his life around. I mean, it's like I say, it's the greatest rags to riches story ever told. But he used these principles that the man made of light taught him. But here's the thing, Bradford, he wrote them all down. He wrote like in detail, not for him. His life was already wonderful. But for us, for you, for me.
For me?
But yeah, absolutely. He wrote to us.
Wow.
And it's touching. When I read this, you know, I was like, wow, this guy didn't have to do this. But here it is in front of me.
Crazy.
Absolute answer to my prayers. I was just living in fear, had no control. I felt like life is happening to me and I couldn't do much about it. And then here's this, these seven basic principles that give you control over your own life.
Wow. And,
you know, successful people are already doing this, but they haven't codified it. So you have people who are highly successful in maybe one area of life and dismal failures in other areas. But once you codify, once you see it and understand it, you can be successful and take control, literally seize control of any aspect of your life that's important to you.
Man, And so I'm taken back by this story. I've never heard it before. So I have a question. So how do you know that this isn't like a mythological story? Like, how do you verify this historically, that this actually happened, that this guy actually existed? How do you know?
I never did until way later. I mean, now you can go watch National Geographic. They did a big thing on him. I found out much later that he's in the history books. This Al-Shabib wrote extensively about him because of his wealth. And he wasn't just personally wealthy. He lifted the entire Mali kingdom, this giant area in West Africa, out of poverty by teaching these seven principles. It's said of Musa that, and this is before he was sultan, he would start construction on a new school every Friday. And what? In these schools, it's unbelievable. He would teach these principles to everybody who would listen, and it lifted the entire kingdom out of poverty, made everybody wealthy and happy, prosperous, creative.
Unbelievable.
Now, really an unbelievable story. Here's an interesting thing about him. This is another one I had never heard about. He embedded the secrets to his success that he learned from the man made of light, the basic formula for how you seize control of your life, in a fairy tale that is so compelling that centuries later, almost everyone on Earth is familiar with it. And this is the fairy tale, Aladdin and the Magic Lamp. Musa is the author of that. And Antoine Gallant was honest about that. He never claimed to have written that. He got two parchments from a Syrian fisherman. One was the fairy tale. The other one was a detailed, explanation for what the fairy tale meant and how to speak this language of the gods that I'm going to tell you more about in a minute.
Man, outstanding.
Yeah, crazy, huh?
It's crazy. It really is. I'm thinking to myself, you know, I've watched Aladdin a few times. I have kids, so definitely watched it with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always been curious of where that story came from. Like, was it, you know, a lot of these stories you see in cartoons and movies, you know, sometimes they'll give credit and they'll look back at, okay, this is where the story originated from. And then sometimes they won't. So it's hard to know sometimes. So it's language is what you're saying, is how you create. It's what you speak. It sounds like it's what you're saying.
Well, kind of, but not
okay.
Not the words that come out of your mouth and not even the thoughts that you're thinking. So this takes just a little bit of effort to wrap your head around this. So the best way to maybe teach this is to go back to the fairy tale. And by the way, Antoine Gallant, he only published the fairy tale. He didn't publish the explanation and he didn't publish the tutorial on how to speak the language of the gods because he was terrified of it. It spoke of God. It spoke of near-death experiences. It spoke of two bodies, a spirit body, a physical body, and he did not dare publish that thing. He thought it would ruin his life.
Right.
But give the guy credit. You know, he lived in the 1600s where people were still burned at the stake for the crime of heresy.
That's true.
So he never published it, but he himself went on to experience tremendous wealth and even fame. So he read it.
Wow.
There's no question. And used it, but he didn't publish it. He just handed it down, kept it guarded, and handed it down generation to generation.
And so I would imagine that this is what you've been able to actually document, put into your book, and be able to share with the world, or some your interpretation or whatever you want to share out of your experience is inside your book. Is that correct?
So yeah. I gave her the manuscript back. You know, if I knew now what I knew then, I probably would have copied it, although that was back in the day when I didn't have a copy machine at home.
Right.
But she asked me not to, so I didn't. But my book is about the principles, the notes I took, and then more than anything, how I used them and what happened to me when I just started playing around with speaking this language of the gods. And it's a remarkable story. Just to give you a little teaser, I went from being like a $60,000 a year concrete guy to making hundreds of thousands a month in a new business that was right down my alley. I was really good at it. I understood it. And it just fell into my lap. So this language of the gods is no trivial thing.
And where can I get my copy? I'm sold.
I want to teach your audience how to speak this, but to do it, the best way is to go back to this fairy tale. And let me kind of explain what the four main elements, I'll just focus on three really.
Okay.
The fairy tale are. So this is the basic formula in the manuscript of how life works, how creation works, and how you can seize control of your own life and create the life you want versus the life you don't want. It's so simple, Bradford. I'm not kidding. It might tick you off when you first hear it. I'm not kidding because it's so simple.
It can't be that simple. If it was that simple, wouldn't everybody be doing it? I mean, come on. Who doesn't want wealth and everything taken care of?
Everyone is doing it. You literally are telling the mechanism that controls your life, that steers your life, you're telling it where to take you. 100%. It's taking you where you have told it to take you.
Jeff, when did I tell it this? I don't remember that conversation. Right.
So let's get into the language of the gods because basically Aladdin in the fairy tale represents the conscious you. So that part of you that you think of as you, but you're much more complex than that.
Gotcha.
That's the conscious part. Then you have this mechanism that controls your life. It's really 100% in control of your personality, your memories, everything that makes you, you. And it steers you to be you. So you're going to be congruent, you know, and that's why you can go talk to your dad and he's the same guy every time, says the same things. You can count on him being him.
There it is.
It's this mechanism that steers your life and controls it.
Wow.
Musa called it the veiled mind. So you have two bodies, a spirit body and a physical body, and you have two minds, the conscious mind, which is represented by Aladdin, and then you have this, what I'm going to call the subconscious mind, because we can relate to that.
Right.
It's the mechanism that controls everything. Now, that is represented by the all-powerful genie that can get you anything you want if you speak to it in the right language, if you summons it. So that brings us to the magic lamp in the story.
I can't just rub it. I'm just kidding.
It's literally easier than that.
Oh my God, Jeff, stop it. Go ahead.
You are speaking to this genie. And just remember, in the metaphor, Aladdin and the Magic Lamp, which Musa wrote as a metaphor for his own life, the genie, the veiled mind, only says two things. So one is a question. What is wanted? What do you want? The only other thing it says is your wish is my command. So it's always asking, like it's asking you right now, what do you want? And you're always answering in this language of the gods, and then it goes and does it. It follows, you're the one telling it, and it does exactly what you command it to do. So, Jeff, if it's not the words that come out of your mouth and it's not the thoughts you think, what the heck is it?
Yeah. What's the fourth principle? Please.
It's feelings.
The fourth element.
It's feelings. Feelings. Feelings is the language of the gods. So we are trained to feel bad, to be fearful. We're trained to be pretty negative when you stop and think about it. Like if I ask you right now, how do you feel about your finances? All right, well, you might feel grateful for what you've got in the bank, but you probably feel some fear about the future. Can I keep it? Can I invest it? What about my investments? Are they going to go up or down? And what about your relationships? What about your health? We're trained to be pretty negative. But this language of the gods, when you take control of how you feel, and it's not easy at first, but it's very easy after you learn some games and tricks and techniques. You've taken control of your life. You really have. You literally have the power to dictate future events and tell your subconscious mind that those are experiences you intend to have, want to have, and you can sit back and they're going to happen at some point in your future. It's that it's that crazy.
All right, so I'm thinking here to myself, okay, being a coach, right? So there's got to be some action somewhere. Like, what I've got to do something to bring it about, right? It's not just going to fall on my lap, literally, or is it? Is that what you're saying? Like, I got to do something. Like when you went out and started this business, you had to, whether the business showed up for you or you found it, whatever, you had to take action on that business and go out and create it. Do something, well, right? So where's the action come into play?
Okay. Great question, by the way, Bradford. That's a great question. You act on your feelings. If you feel like doing something, you do it. If you don't feel like doing it, you know as well as I do, it stays on your to-do list forever.
Yep. Yep.
So when you change the way you feel about any aspect of your life, your subconscious mind believes your feelings. It never doubts your feelings. It believes every single one of them. So if you're feeling good about your finances, it believes it. And once it's on board and it believes subconsciously that you're supposed to have good finances, it takes control. And now it speaks back to you in feelings. Thoughts, feelings, emotions, instincts, all of that, ideas. But it will guide you once it believes subconsciously that you're supposed to have something. It absolutely makes sure that that's what happens. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. Once a subconscious belief is formed, that's the way it's going to be. You can take that to the bank.
Man. You know, you make me think about something, and I want to give a shout out to Kanye West. Kanye said years ago, I don't know if you remember this, they called it a mental breakdown, but he was on the stage doing a show, and he stopped the show, and he kept saying, "Feelings matter, man. Feelings matter." The guy's a billionaire, so maybe he's talking about something. I don't know.
Yep, maybe he understood something, but feelings are literally everything. If you feel like you're going to be poor, you're going to be poor. And as soon as you feel on a subconscious, deep core level that you're to be rich, you're going to be rich, and there's nothing that can stop it.
Wow. All right. So my next question is, and I'm sure a lot of people are listening today wondering the same thing. Man, how do I control my feelings?
Yeah.
My God. I mean, it's so hard. I mean, I don't feel like it today, right? I just don't feel like it. Like you said, I'm tired. I'm sleepy. You know, I'm not motivated, all that stuff. How does one control that so that they actually can generate the kind of feelings that they want and they can have what they want? How's that work?
That's a really good question. So to start out with, let's understand how subconscious beliefs are formed. So for your entire life, subconscious beliefs were set by an event accompanied by really strong emotion. So something happened and you felt strongly about it. Maybe you got up on the stage to sing as a little kid and one of the other little kids snickered, or a parent did, even worse. Now you felt so strongly that a subconscious belief was formed and you don't ever perform in front of people again. You know, you're terrified of that experience.
That's right. That's right.
So nothing has changed. All of your you can set new subconscious beliefs very easily. I'm going to tell you how to do it.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Okay, so if all of your subconscious beliefs are set by an event that is attached to strong emotion, and you want to change how you feel about anything, you have to experience an event that has a lot of meaning to you, a lot of emotion behind it. Hmm. All right, well, your reality isn't going to do it, right? You look at your reality, right. And if you're broke, that doesn't make you feel good. That makes you feel more broke.
Worse.
And round right. and round you go, you know?
Right.
So everybody has a God-given superpower. And this superpower is your ability to imagine and pretend. Mm. Now, think about it. You pretty much do this. You were a pro at doing it as a kid. But you still interpret everything that happens to you through your imagination. Because you don't know, like you're walking down the street and a lady walks by and she snickers and elbows her girlfriends and they all look at you. And then you keep walking and they keep walking. You don't ask them, hey, what did you mean by that? You right. just very quickly interpret it. And you might interpret it as, yeah, those ladies thought I was handsome and they're showing each other. Or you might right. interpret it, hey, they probably think I'm dressed weird or I look weird. Mm-hmm. But right. you're doing this all the time. You don't know all the facts. You're just using your imagination to give value to everything that happens.
Yeah, totally agree with that. Yeah.
When you learn some tricks and games that your subconscious mind loves to play, and you start playing these, you can literally tell it what to believe. And it will. And like I said before, whatever it believes, subconscious beliefs, that's the way it's going to be. Whatever it believes, it will make true in your physical realm. So you better learn how you're communicating with your subconscious mind. And not just that. I mean, if I tell you feelings is the language of the gods, that's not quite enough because of your training, just your programming. You're like a little robot. Yeah. You're so habitual in the way you think and feel.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And it's interesting. You know, what I'm hearing you say also is that because I coach from that perspective too. I get people to see and realize, hey, things like getting an answer wrong or a parent saying something to you as a child, how it forms the way you be, you know, the way that you behave and become in life. You know, what's interesting that I also hear you saying is that it doesn't matter what anyone else says. I mean, it might have some kind of an impact on you, but it's really about what you can train your subconscious to tell yourself to give you the feelings that you need to go out and take the actions that you need to take. So, you know, a lot of us dwell in the space of, you know, well, I'm going to go to this, go hear the speaker, you know, maybe it's a Tony Robbins or something. I'm going to go. And what Tony's going to say is going to really inspire me. It's going to motivate me to do anything. And you come back and 2 weeks later, you still haven't done anything. Because maybe it didn't reach your subconscious.
Because it does have value to listen to people who are motivating. Sure. And you have changed a lot of your subconscious beliefs based on motivation. I mean, think of a great coach if you played football as a kid or anything you did where you had a great coach.
Yes.
First half of the game, you might be getting creamed. And then the coach takes the whole team in the locker room and he gives you the pep talk of your life. And all he's doing is changing the way you see the game, the way you see yourself, the way you see what you can do, what you're capable of. And the whole team goes out and they start creeping back and they win in the end. And they're a different team. It's like these are different kids. Well, they are different kids because they're feeling different about the game. And you are what you're feeling about life, not so much what you think about it or what you say about it. How you feel is everything.
Yeah, I got that. So I'm imagining that in the book, The Seven Sultan Secrets, that you teach some of these tricks and games that the subconscious mind likes to play. And that's the secret, right? That's your secret. Okay, you know, people might not know, or even if they know, okay, Jeff says my subconscious likes to play games. What are those games? So tell us about how the book dives into training someone to retrain themselves and how they think and feel about what they want for their life.
Well, let me give you a quick example. We've been taught affirmations. Okay. So you might sit there and say, yeah. I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. Well, your subconscious mind knows it doesn't play that game. It knows that the only reason you're saying that is because you're poor and you wish you were rich. So that's not a game. It will sit there and listen to you, but it won't do anything about it.
Right.
But if you slow down and you use your ability to imagine and pretend, for example, and you ask the right questions, what would it feel like to have, pick a number, $100,000 under my mattress? How would that feel? What kind of financial security would that? Well, your subconscious mind loves the what if game, and it will immediately feed you what it would feel like to have $100,000 or $1,000,000or $10,000,000. So when you learn the right games to play with your subconscious mind, and here's the funny thing about that. When you're playing this game and you get your subconscious mind to feed you what it would feel like to X,
right.
You're feeling it. So you know that this is just an imaginary scenario. It's not real, right?
Right.
But what about the feelings you're experiencing while you're doing this? Are those real? You better believe it.
Feels like it, yeah.
So your subconscious mind is literally feeding you the feelings of what if I were wealthy? What if I had the perfect sweetheart in my life? What if I was absolutely healthy, fit, vibrant, energetic? What would that feel like? So it feeds it to you. And then you're feeling it. It believes all of your feelings. And when it buys into, when you do it enough that it buys into those feelings that it believes,
yeah.
Now it takes over and makes sure that it happens. So this is such a bizarre little, when you try to think about it, it's so bizarre that that's how it works, but that's how you turn your life around. You flood your subconscious mind with really great feelings regarding any aspect of your life that you want to change.
Right.
You have to kind of quit looking at reality and get into your imagination and ask the right questions, play the right games. And I've spent 28 years, by the way, developing these games and tricks and hacks and techniques that work, because the manuscript was really heavy on concept, pretty light on games and techniques. But over the years, I've figured them out. I mean, I've worked with hundreds, if not thousands of people. And one game may not really work for one person, but then the other games do. And we're all a little different, but there's a game for everybody, I promise.
Man, really great. So I was thinking, again, as you're talking, I'm thinking through this whole process. So one question that came up for me as well that people might want to know is, I know that feelings often can be fleeting as well, right? Which is, I guess, sort of the intended value of the affirmations to keep the feeling alive. So with utilizing these principles and these techniques and the tricks and games and hacks that you're providing, how do you maintain and sustain that feeling that you need to keep you going forward and moving in the direction that you want to have for your life?
That's kind of outlined in the book, because that gets into the way you do it. Once you understand what you're doing, think of The Secret. So many people read that book. They got all excited. Mm-hmm. It had some truth, about half the truth. You've got to focus on things that make you happy. You got to focus on things that you want to have happen, because then you feel good. The problem is, she didn't go into how feeling good is going to change your life. She didn't teach, why imagining and focusing on those things, how it's going to change your life, or why you should do it. So people were so habitual. You wake up every morning thinking the same thoughts. What are you thinking about? Your life, the circumstances of your life. Well, as you think of those circumstances, you feel a certain way. And if you were to document, you know, how do I think and how do I feel every morning, you would see so clearly it's the same stuff. It's the same thing.
Yep.
So to change
it's like that, it's like a recorder.
Yeah, it's like a recorder. We are programmed. Literally, when I say you're like a little robot, you are. You're just a little robot. You've been programmed to be you.
Yep.
To change that, you've got to learn to throw a big monkey wrench into that process of thinking and feeling and turn it around. And you can. You can absolutely take control of it. And as soon as you do, you've seized control of your future. It's just a fact.
Jeff, really powerful stuff, man. And I can't wait to share how people can get their hands on this book. I wanted to ask you also, one of the things that I like to focus on are challenges that people come across in life. And you've obviously shared some of those with us, being a concrete worker, a contractor, and then coming across something that caused you to have a real serious breakthrough in your life. And it's giving you unimaginable levels of success that I'm sure you never saw coming for yourself. I wanted to ask you who, you know, other than, you know, Mensa, who inspires you? Like, who would you point to as someone that says, you know, someone or maybe something that says, man, this really inspires me. It lights me up. And why is it so important for you to get this message out to the world? Why does it matter so much to you?
Those are two really good questions. So the first one is easy, but it's going to sound a little corny.
Okay.
Everything that changed my life for the good goes back to what I read in Sultan Musa of Mali's parchments. And that all goes back to the man made of light who taught him. Now, this sounds corny, but the man made of light is everything.
Okay.
Musa fell in love with him. He wanted to serve him. So he wasn't just wealthy. He was unbelievably generous. And you got to read about him. He did so much for people and he was so loved. But it was because he learned from the man made of light. Now, I understand you're kind of trained to despise the very thing that can save you, the very person that you should look to make your life wonderful. Because we look at, you know, you go to Sunday school and maybe as a little kid, the other kids were mean. So you came away thinking, well, these Christians, you know, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They're not nice.
Right.
Okay. But they're misrepresenting the man made of light. Mm. And when I say Christian, the creator of all of us. We all have a spirit body, and that spirit body is literally a child of God. And it's the real you. It's the thing with the power and the life. If it pops out of your physical body, and this happens to everybody at death, the physical body's worth nothing. It just is a lump of clay. The spirit body lives on. It's immortal, and it is a literal child of God. So the first thing that happened to me when I read that manuscript is it elevated how I thought of myself. All of a sudden, I'm not just some entity that's going to die and be snuffed out someday and maybe nothing I'm doing matters. No, the exact opposite. I saw myself as a literal child of God, and that changed a lot for me. It didn't make me more religious. It didn't make me want to go to church more necessarily, but it absolutely made me see religious teachings differently, why you do certain things and why you don't do other things.
Right.
So that's who inspires me. You know, that's who I live for. And knowing that I'm loved and that he's there for me all the time. Look, life is great when you're doing that. And it's not great when you think you're all alone and, you know, you feel like you don't really have a purpose.
Yeah, totally get that. You're right. I think that's something that, that really makes life worth living is feeling like your life makes a difference, right? And you actually matter.
Really. For sure. Yeah. Don't let that make you think that my book is all about like a Sunday school lesson. It's really not. It's just, you know, it's the way it is now that I've read all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you asked me a second question, which I kind of forgot.
Yeah, it's okay. So I was wanting to know, like, why is it so important for you, like, to get this out to the world, to share this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I've lived a truly magical life, and I give full credit to Sultan Musa of Mali, who taught me what the man made of light taught him. That's why my life has been great. And I was going to retire to my farm in Belize a couple years ago. And I had the strongest feeling that I can't do that until I get this message out to a lot more people. I had shared it one-on-one with hundreds of people. So people would come over to my office or knock on my door and say, hey, you know, you got a nice house and I see you driving a Mercedes. Will you talk to me? You know, and I teach them all the seven principles. That's all I've got to teach, but it works for everybody. Everybody who understands it and does it, it changes your life. Well, I couldn't just go off into the sunset and enjoy retirement without getting this message out to a lot more people. So that's why I wrote the book. I've been putting work and effort into getting the message out on podcasts and by other means. I've got challenges and just other things going on.
Right.
But really, that's all kind of why I'm doing it, so I can retire someday. But really, to be honest, I love doing it. There is nothing more fun than taking someone who's feeling the weight of the world on their shoulders, who's frustrated and fearful, teaching them these concepts and the techniques of how you do it, and watching their eyes pop open. I know that moment when they get it, when they see it.
Right.
And it is such a relief. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in the, you know, like I say, their mouth pops open a little and they're like,
right,
oh my gosh, I get it. I see how you can control your own life. And that is the most fun for me. I love that moment. Whether it's, I see somebody on a Zoom conference with 300 people on, or whether it's one-on-one in my office, I love it when people see that they have the ability to seize control of their own life and their future. Man. That's why I do it.
I love it. Really making a difference, Jeff, and I really appreciate you for not retiring. You know, I'm sure you got plenty of years left. You're like a healthy guy, so I'm sure you got plenty of time left. But, you know, for staying in the game, man, with us and sharing what you've learned and the secrets to help people have the life that they want, you know. So I'm certainly interested in reading the book and learning the principles and sharing those and sharing it with the people that I come across. So if people are listening to the podcast today, how do they get the book?
Yeah, if this resonates with you, download the book. You could be speaking the language of the gods tonight and like all day tomorrow. You go to sultansevensecrets.com. That's Sultans with an S at the beginning and an S at the end. The number seven, secrets with an S at the beginning and an S at the end, .com. Sultan7secrets.com. You can download the book. We've made it so cheap. I'm, you know, you'll see. I'm just giving it away, basically, so that we can, you know, get the word out to people. Yeah. And we need it more than ever. You know, if you're concerned about, oh my gosh, the world is going to hell in a handcart. Yeah, but you don't have to. And then you can be a rock for your family and you can teach these concepts. And now your family is a rock for the community. And then the community can be a rock for the whole area. So you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to go down with the ship, so to speak.
Right.
So grab the book, learn the concepts, and just go from there. You know, life is a gift. It's a blessing. I didn't see it that way at 33. I do now. It's a tremendous, unbelievable gift, and it's yours. It's yours to control. Just learn how. And that's part of what you're doing here, is learning how.
Yeah, that's great, man. Great. So one more question I have, Jeff, do you offer any kind of coaching like that can go along with the book? Like if somebody bought the book and said, man, I'm really struggling to get these principles implemented, like I want some extra support. Is that something that you offer as well?
Yeah, the book is the concepts. And then I have a workshop that people can attend
Okay.
And, you know, that goes deep right into techniques and games and tricks and hacks and how you take control of your subconscious mind and tell it exactly what kind of a life to go create for you. But start with the book, and then that'll lead you to anything else that we're doing. So just start there. That's the place to take the first step.
Love it, man. I love it, Jeff. Thank you. SultansSecrets.com. Sultan Seven Secrets?
Yeah, the number seven.
The number seven. Sultans7secrets.com, everybody. If you want to learn the secrets of living a life that's full, a life that's not just money and wealth and power, but I mean like really having a life of being fulfilled, it sounds like this is a great place to start. So, Jeff, man, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast and sharing with us what you're doing. I appreciate all the work that you're doing in the world and your stand for people having a life that they love. And if it's money, wealth, fame, whatever you want, it's great to know that it's all possible through the imagination, which we all have, and the access that that gives us to controlling our feelings and then having what we want. Really brilliant.
Perfect. There. Thank you, Bradford, for having me on, and congrats on the success of your podcast. Really proud of the work you're doing.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much, Jeff. Take care. And we'll see you soon, man. We'll get you to come back on and maybe bring somebody that's had a breakthrough in using the... Yeah. Using the seven secrets, man, and talk about what they got for themselves. That'd be awesome.
That'd be wonderful. Looking forward to it. Take care.
Take care, man. Good to see you. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is Doris Brown's baby boy. We out.